bung bung.
ClayMcMathComedy.com for all your podcast merch and Clay McMath Comedy dates. If you want to see me on the road, go to ClayMcMathComedy.com, see where I'm at. I've got a Melbourne show popping up. I've got a couple more Adelaide shows coming up. ClayMcMathComedy.com. And don't forget, if you tell a friend to tell a friend about the Welcome to the Potty podcast and you show us that you've told them, you're automatically in the draw to win free Welcome to the Potty merch. And no BS, I literally just sent some out today. So this is no BS. This is a real thing. Get your Welcome to the Potty merch for free by sharing the show. Or if you want to be a true supporter, log on ClayMcMathComedy.com and buy it. Spend some of that hard earned and support us. ClayMcMathComedy.com. Welcome to the Potty is, of course, brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee. It's delicious, it's nutritious, it is testosterone in a cup, it is productivity in a cup. I've seen people that weren't able to pleasure their wives have 1.5 cups of Bung Bung Coffee and then bang, their wife's telling them they're all sore downstairs. I've seen people go to work and get put on performance management plans, bang, couple cups of Bung Bung Coffee, they're getting a promotion. If you want to change your life in ways like this and different types, I've seen intellectually disabled people have Bung Bung Coffee and just turn into just really special guys. So go to bungbungcoffee.com. That's bungbungcoffee.com and enter promo code POTTY, that's PODDY, for 15% off all orders. No minimum order, no maximum order. Bungbungcoffee.com. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, bung bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman. Cause always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the James Harden of podcasting. Because when things go wrong, I will point fingers. We got Boardman in the booth today. What's up,
Arch man?
How Arch. You on?
Yeah, good dude.
Good.
How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I only recorded a few days ago because I procrastinated again this week. But so I haven't, not much has happened since the last episode of the Welcome to the Potty podcast. What has happened though is James Harden is traveling around China, I guess, where he's going to be playing in the next couple of years. just playing the blame game.
Did you see that he was talking about playing there?
No, I didn't see that.
I don't know how serious he was being, but yeah, he was talking about he'd love to play in China one day.
Wow.
And it didn't just sound like an exhibition match. Maybe towards the tail end of his career, but...
Yeah, right. Yeah, but... Just
I doubt it. I think he's made enough money. Doesn't need to go do that.
Just talking big shit about Daryl Morey. So he really... this isn't just about James Harden. I just don't like people requesting trades every year. I just think it's grow up.
Yeah. I feel like you can probably do it once in your career, but to do it three times in... What is it, like 4 or 5 years? Pretty wild.
Yeah. Oh, man. Frozza Beza from Muzza Bizza.
It's been a while.
A contract is a contract. That's what I think. I just don't think you should be able to, like, I don't like Dame, you know, request a trade. He's played at Portland forever. He doesn't do it every year. So, yeah, request a trade. But then when you start saying, but I'm not going here and I'm not going here and I'm only going here, like.
Yeah, only, like, limiting it to one team is pretty,
pretty shitty. Yeah. I just don't like what the NBA's turned into in terms of, like, just I want to play where I want to play. Like, you're lucky to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, man. I can't see any end in sight for this shit. It's just...
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah. It's just like, let's super team it up. Let's all act like whiny little bitches and get sent to the same team.
Do we know what the reason is for Harden's request, though? Is it because he got shafted?
I think he took a pay cut.
and had like a handshake agreement that he'd get looked after this off season.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been. Yeah. Why would you be as well? I get it. Like, be a man of your word, whatever. That's one thing. Daryl Morey's character's in question. I get that. But business is also business. And if you're not going to bring it, and we can't trust you to, like, if Philly's going to get the same James Harden again this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to just, like, max him up?
Is it on Daryl Morey too? Like, do you think last year they had a roster that could have won a championship?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris, bro. I'm sorry. And maybe he's not getting played correctly. But to choose him over Jimmy Butler and he's averaging 6 points or whatever, like, what is that? What is that?
Don't have an answer for you, man, but...
PJ Tucker's over there, and people talk about PJ Tucker like he is a recipe for a championship.
Well, just backtracking though, Harden, he said, I'm not playing for any organization that Daryl Morey is part of. So it sounds like that's who his issues with.
Yeah.
So as the owner, do you acquiesce to that? Do you get Morey out of there? Keep your stars happy? Who's more important to winning at the end of the day? Like, Daryl Morey's never won a championship.
Neither's James Harden.
Yeah.
I don't know who you keep and who you get rid of. Harden is an aging player. I guess you'd call him an aging star. A star that doesn't win. He's like Carmelo Anthony, right? So a GM can't age out. Or whatever Morey is. Is he president or GM? I don't know what he is.
I guess with this one though,
I think Elton Brand's GM actually.
Yeah.
Morey must be president or something.
He's pretty high up there. Yeah. But what do you prioritize though? Do you want to keep your stars happy? Not Harden, but if Embiid wants him there, if you go and shaft Harden like this, what's to stop Embiid from, if he doesn't get the help he needs or thinks he needs, then he'll be next one demanding a trade. And then who's more important, Morey or Embiid?
This is why I'm not a GM.
Me neither, dude.
Because
must be a tough job. Fickle job.
It's hard from my point of view because like I would kill a small child to get an NBA gig, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it makes me really angry when they're not appreciative of the situation they're in, right?
Yeah.
And it makes me frustrated as well that it's not a basketball league anymore. It's a reality TV show. And this drama is more of what we see than actual guys that want to grind and win a championship. I mean, I'm so happy Denver won. Because they built that team. And I'm so happy Milwaukee won. I'm so happy Golden State won before and after KD. The league for a long time has just been like free agent based and the free agent signings have been the what everyone's like frothing at the mouth about over the off season rather than like people drafting success or building a system.
It's a microwave era.
Yeah.
Microwave era. But yeah. All I know from this particular instance is if my bosses offered me a pay rise and then when it came time for it to come in, they were like, nah, what are you talking about? I'd be pissed. I wouldn't want to work there anymore.
Yeah, me too.
So I get where he's coming from with that. I feel like this one's a little bit different to other trade demands we've heard in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true when you put it like that.
Because he's not saying he's unhappy with playing there. He's just got an issue with Morey, from what I've heard anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
he wasn't talking about the Sixers. He was saying, I don't want to play where Daryl Morey is affiliated.
Yeah.
So I'm just seeing it from a bit of a different lens.
Yeah, I guess this one is the most forgivable of all of his foolishness. But I guess when you've already got the reputation, you get tired with that brush a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
My old man has some health stuff going on and he's like telling me about it on the phone. He's like, yeah. So, you know, the doctor said I've got to be calm. I can't let myself get worked up. I can't stress out because it's not going to do me any favors. And he's driving. He's driving while he's telling me this. And then I just hear him honk his horn and be like, stupid ass bitch, what the fuck you doing? What the fuck you think you doing, stupid ass bitch? And I was like, oh. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, in the fucking same breath as he's just like, yeah, I just got to be calm. Like.
Yeah, but people on the road will do that to you, man.
Yeah.
Hard to avoid.
Oh, man. Fucking nuts, dude. Fucking nuts.
Oh, shout out to Big H anyway.
Yeah, shout out to Crazy H.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's Reviews.
We went to the cinema together for the latest review, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that's probably the first movie we've watched together in, I don't know, good 5 or 6 years.
Since Black Panther number one, I think.
That long?
That's what I remember. Maybe we've gone to something
else. Oh, we might
have
had like a movie night or something here with the girlfriends as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we've done that.
But going to the cinemas.
But going to the cinemas, I reckon Black Panther.
Been a while.
Yeah.
What'd you have to eat that day?
Yes. Yes. So this is interesting, actually. I chose to go with pretzels and dip them in Biscoff.
Looks so good, man.
I've got to say, it was pretty lit. It was bussin'.
Yeah, it's a wild combo.
Yeah, I just had Biscoff on the mind for probably last month now, thanks to you. And I picked pretzels because I was like, Oppenheimer, World War II, German, right?
Yeah.
Didn't realize Oppenheimer was Jew. I thought Oppenheimer was like a German name, but it was Jewish. Mm. So I got pretzels based on German, but so I picked the wrong side, basically.
Come on, half and half.
Yeah.
I mean, German, but Jew.
So. Yeah. He's German?
Wait, is he?
I don't know. Can you be a German Jew?
Shit, I don't know.
Can you be a Jewish Nazi?
I'm sure you could be. I'm sure they were. That's probably what started all of it.
Yeah, right. So maybe I'm not far off.
No, I don't think you're far off. You didn't nail it, but you're not far off.
Yeah, yeah. So that was what I chose. And you went with chicken twisties.
Yeah, I had to go something safe. It's a couple of weeks ago now, but I was just feeling so sick the night before.
Yeah, because you almost had a whole apple pie.
Whole apple pie and like a third of a tub of ice cream. So that kind of wrote me off. And we went to watch the film during the day as well. So I was still recovering.
Yeah.
So just pack of chicken twisties, humble one for me.
So yeah, this movie, bro, it was a movie about a man that I didn't think that I'd ever need to see. Like somebody that I didn't really think I'd have much interest in knowing anything about.
So did you know anything about him before the movie? Did you even know the name before like they started advertising Oppenheimer? No,
you know, I think I'd probably learned about the father of the atomic bomb at some stage in my life because like that phrase is very familiar, but I couldn't, if I was doing pub trivia and someone said Oppenheimer's famous for what, I don't think I'd pick it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, I went into it even less than you. I'd never heard the name until they started advertising this film.
Yeah,
I don't know a whole lot about the creation of the atomic bomb, so went into it with pretty fresh eyes. And
they did a pretty good job of giving a full picture of that. It wasn't just the Manhattan Project, which for anybody who doesn't know, the Manhattan Project is the name of the project of developing the atomic bomb. But I say that to say this, although there was like a comprehensive background of Oppenheimer, which I liked, I did think that there was a drop off between the A storyline and the B and C storylines. So the deposition in that small room where they were sort of going over his security clearance and it was rigged against him, I thought that was a bit boring, other than the Emily Blunt performance in that room was like unbelievable. And then the other one, which I don't think it was a courtroom, but it looked similar to a courtroom, some political sort of legal.
It's like where they were
the black and white
discussing his security clearance and
yeah,
to revoke it. It was like an unofficial hearing.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, where Rami Malek comes in right at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that that wasn't really doing it for me. I guess they were creating a timeline with it, so they would discuss events and then drop back into the Manhattan Project and show that, I suppose. It just, it kept taking me out. I was disappointed every time it dropped out of color to black and white. I was like, oh, here we go, this shit. You know, I don't know.
I was in the same boat.
Yeah.
All that.
It was interesting that I found out that Christopher Nolan watches the Welcome to the Potty podcast, and we inspired the Oppenheimer film.
Sensational.
Yeah, that was good to hear.
Yeah. So our wide shots are in color, and the close ups of me are in black and white, which was quite similar to the way that Oppenheimer was shot. So shout out Christopher Nolan for being a regular listener of the Welcome to the Potty podcast. That's huge for us. And, you know, given the Ted Sarandos deal that's been put on the table, maybe when we get put onto Netflix, Christopher Nolan directs the Welcome to the Potty podcast. I don't know.
I'm here for it, man.
Yeah. There was some specifics in there that I really enjoyed. So I'd say the callback to, and it was over the course of the movie, they kept going back to this scene of Oppenheimer talking to Einstein. And we never knew what he said until the very end of the film. And it basically, that conversation and Einstein's reaction basically set up the whole relationship between Oppenheimer and Strauss, played by Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away too much there, but like that relationship was tumultuous, but only really, I think Oppenheimer's ego, and he was specked out to the gills. He couldn't recognize that someone felt some type of way towards him because he's just such a geek, you know? He's just thinking about atoms and bombs and explosions and the universe all the time. Big speck. The acting, I thought, was very subtle. When it started, I was like, oh, I usually love Cillian Murphy, but he's not showing much, like he's not giving much expression, right? But like he's a scientist as well, and he's specked out, bro. So like, of course he doesn't know how to like give emotion out of his face. And he was reactive and was very subtle. And Nolan was using close-ups and extreme close-ups to capture some of these reactions and expressions. And it was a masterclass in acting and cinematography intertwined, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. It was, yeah. Seeing that on the big screen,
yeah.
I highly recommend it.
So important, bro. I can't imagine sitting down and watching it on a TV or a laptop. Are you kidding?
Yeah, but even not just visually, like the audio. I don't know if it was just VMAX that's that loud, but yeah, it just wouldn't hit the same at home.
So, nah.
So while you got a chance, get out there and see it in cinemas, I reckon.
And I forget who the composer was.
Ludwig Göransson?
Yeah. I think he did the album with Redbone.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. I do think he's young though, long hair.
Yeah, having a look at his wiki now.
Yeah, check so if he did the Gambino album.
He worked on Black Panther as well. There you go.
Okay. Quickly making a name for himself because he's looking at the picture. How old would you say?
It just tells me. So oh, okay. He's
38. I don't know if that's young or old for a composer, but dude, I think, yeah, I talked about going to the Hans Zimmer, like Adelaide Symphony Orchestra thing, and he's not classically trained in music. And I was asking Rach before we went there, I was like, does a composer have to learn every instrument? Like, how can you write an instrument that you can't play? But I guess you can just get it.
You just, yeah, got an ear for it.
Like, if you're that guy.
Yeah.
So that's nuts. So he's not classically trained in music, Hans Zimmer. I'm off track here anyway. But, yeah, the music, I thought, especially the scene where the sound was just unbelievable was the testing the bomb. So the lead up was quite tense. The music leading up to the moment of the detonation was gripping, and then the bomb detonates. Silence. For what, a minute?
Maybe not. Maybe 30 seconds?
Felt like Felt like a minute. Felt like longer.
Oh, bro, I was in love with that.
Yeah, it was a powerful scene.
Like the biggest explosion the world's ever seen, maybe, to just have this silence come over the whole theater and no one talked, no one did a joke.
So no one even picked a chip up out of their packet.
Yeah, it froze the entire room, and it was so powerful and so just magnificent for that. Yeah, that 30 seconds, and then you got hit with the explosion and all that. But my God, I would go back to the cinemas just for that scene. I mean, I was about to say that made the 3 hours worth it, but the whole 3 hours was worth it. But that was just that. That scene was unbelievable, and I wouldn't mind seeing a behind the scenes of the explosion footage. Did they do an actual explosion and film it close up to get the footage of it? Like, I just don't know how they, or is it old? Like, is it old footage? I don't think they would have done that. It would have looked too shit.
Not sure. I kind of want to see it again. I feel like there's a lot that I didn't catch or missed that time around.
Yeah, and I thought originally when I walked out of there, I felt like they were focusing a lot on the science at times. And when we first left, I was like, oh, it was a bit sciencey. It was, of course, going to be. But then, like, upon further reflection, I'm kind of glad that we didn't review it last week because I've had more time to think about it. And they also made a huge point numerous times throughout the film about theory can only take you so far because they've got theoretical physicists or something. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. So they do all the formulas and stuff and they say, like, based on this formula, this is what should happen. And then they've got like some big proton electron bloody machine in the next room where the other more physical scientists like test theories.
Practical.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. There was actually one scene where there was – oh, it was when they figured out that someone had figured out how to split the atom. And Oppenheimer runs to his blackboard, does all this stuff. He's like, it's impossible. Look. And then the guy runs next door. He's like, I'm going to try and replicate it. And he goes and does it. He comes back and he's like, I've done this 10 times. It doesn't work. It's impossible. And the guy comes in and he's like, we've done it next door. And it's like theory can only take you so far. And I think like – that was the same in the movie. Like there was a point where you can talk all the science that you want to talk, but like there's gonna be more to it.
But yeah, there comes a point where you're gonna find things out through experimentation.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
That was so scary, man. When they were talking about like not actually knowing whether this thing's just gonna burn through all the atmosphere on Earth.
Yeah.
Like. What a crazy risk.
Hit the spoiler alert button here.
Sorry.
Go on.
I just thought that was absolutely nuts. Like, them not actually knowing what the outcome of this thing was going to be.
Yes. Yeah.
Knowing it was a possibility that it could burn through, like, just destroy the Earth.
Yeah.
They still went ahead with it.
Yeah, like the test could have blown up the world. Yeah. Again, it was all theory and they're like, there's a near zero chance that this will end the world. And he tells Matt Damon, who's like some sort of army guy, obviously high up in the army, big security clearance.
Leslie Groves.
He's like, what did this guy mean when he made this joke about this? And he's like, well, there is a chance that when this bomb goes off, it lights up the entire world. And he's like, what chance? He's like, very small chance. Like, what chance? He's like, near zero. He's like, so you're telling me there is a chance?
A chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's crazy. And the reason I wanted you to just press the spoiler alert is because that conversation with Einstein, that we never know what he says until the very end, is he tells him, that day I gave you this piece of paper, I told you that we may be setting off a chain reaction that will destroy the entire world. And what he meant was a physical chain reaction where the atom splits and continually splits, and the explosion just never stops, and the entire atmosphere, because of oxygen and all of that, it just keeps lighting on fire and the whole world explodes. And when he has this second conversation with Einstein, he says, I think that might be what we've done. But of course, he's not talking about the physical chain reaction of the explosion. He's talking about the chain reaction of we've created the A-bomb, but now we want to keep the Manhattan Project open in Los Alamos and create the H-bomb.
Yeah, so there's that chain reaction, but then there's also all these other countries.
Yeah, like Russia, Germany, it's a race.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started the Cold War between, you know, Russia and the US. That was pretty profound. I don't know that that conversation ever really would have happened, but...
Yeah, I think probably need to fact check this at some point, but I heard somewhere that he didn't actually have that conversation with Einstein. It was like another...
physicist.
Another high-profile physicist at the time.
But. Yeah, right. I haven't fact-checked anything. I took it all letter to law. More on the sound, the gymnasium scene.
Yeah.
With the feet stomping and stuff.
Stressing me out.
Yeah, and it was like he had PTSD almost. And the contrast between... Because I think it was the scene directly after like the celebration of like, we've done it. We've successfully created the atomic bomb. And then they go to that scene and he's got so much guilt because he's like, oh, I'm going to kill so many people because of my invention.
What do you think of them not showing the devastation in Japan? Well, I'm glad they left it out of the movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a war film. It wasn't about war.
No. As much as it was about war, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
It just wasn't. It was during World War II, but it just wasn't a World War II film. Like, it was so much more than that. The character development was, like, unparalleled, especially between Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, his wife, Emily Blunt, his mistress, Florence Pugh. Obviously, Matt Damon's character did develop. There was a lot of... relationships between physicists that although you didn't see as much of, they did, there was complexities to them. There was a big theme of communism.
Yeah.
And that was part of, I guess, his downfall was his ties to communism in the end because the spy was Russian. So I guess communism really let him get his guard down in the end.
Yeah, I guess before the movie I didn't realize communism was such a like broad thing.
Yeah.
As in like there's full-blown Russian communism and then there's just other people that have like a communist sort of outlook.
Yeah.
Ideology.
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of people in the film, well, they sort of distanced themselves from the communist movement.
Especially at that time.
The further it went.
Yeah, like at that time, like if people called you a commie back then, it was like you're a fucking Russian spy. But now if someone jokingly calls you a commie, it's like you're a socialist cuck. Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like Russian communism. They were talking about like something happening in Spain at the time.
Yeah. I mean, at the time there was still a separation and there was like American communism and that is what they were talking about.
Yeah.
They were often referencing like we need to do this before the Russians in terms of the bomb. Like they were competitive with the Russians. They didn't want the Russians to have a leg up. So of course they weren't expecting to have a spy in their camp.
I guess, even though they were allies at the time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there was so much going on. And that's pretty typical of Christopher Nolan. Like, Inception is one of my favorite films of all time. And I reckon 50% of the time I tell people that and they're like, oh, what? Didn't even understand it. And it's like, there is heaps happening in Christopher Nolan films.
What are your top five Christopher Nolan films?
I think this, Inception, I would have to go with probably both The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. I know he did Batman Begins, but that wasn't really one of my favorites.
No, not as good as the other two.
What else has he done? Interstellar?
Yeah, Interstellar.
Yeah, I like that. That's, I mean, yeah, those are my five easily. Yeah. I know he did, I think he did Dunkirk. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he did that.
I need to see that.
That was good.
Yeah.
Good film. Have you seen The Prestige?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah.
And he did Memento as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Memento is a banger.
Okay.
See that. Yeah, Prestige is a banger too, dude.
That's a good film.
And that's Christian Bale again.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a banger. As if he wasn't already, but like this definitely puts Christopher Nolan in the category of like, you get to make whatever you want, whenever you want now, you know?
Who's in there already?
I think James Cameron. I think Tarantino. I think the Coen brothers.
What do they do?
Burn After Reading, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I don't think I've seen any of these.
What else is on there?
A Serious Man.
No.
No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
Seen that one.
Yeah, that's good one. Lit.
The Big Lebowski.
Yes, bro. Have you seen that?
No, I don't reckon I have.
Oh, man. That's one of my faves. Got to see that.
Yeah, I haven't really seen too many of these, to be honest.
Big Lebowski is a must see.
Fargo? I've heard of that. Is that good?
Yeah, that's a banger. Okay. Yeah. That they did the movie, but then a series came out, and the series is also a banger.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? There'd be way more. Obviously, like Francis Ford Coppola. I think he's dead, though.
Godfather.
Yeah. Oh, Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's probably more that I can't think of right now. The makeup, because they aged down and up.
Yeah, Matt Damon looking
a bit
long in the tooth.
Yeah, and that final scene when he got his award, like they were all old, and making people look old can look cheap sometimes, and I just thought it looked pretty real.
Mm. Yeah, I was rolling with it.
Yeah, makeup was great. I loved it. I could see it again. Like for a 3-hour film about highly intellectual subject matter, its rewatchability is fucking insane. Like that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I remember saying to you as we walked out, like this is probably a film that I don't think I need to see again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now that I've had like 2 weeks to reflect on it a bit more, I do really want to see it again.
Yeah. Especially like...
It doesn't have to be soon, but at some point I want to watch that again. And
yeah. Yeah, I'd be keen to... I might have to see it again soon because I'd be keen to see it in the theatre again. All right. Well, before we go, I've got 2 emails. This one is coming in from Connor. And this one's short and sweet. He says, who was the first comedian that you noticed and how did you find them? And you must be a new listener, Connor, or maybe not. I think I have talked about this on the show before. Connor. Do I know anyone named Connor? I was trying to be friends with this kid when I was, I reckon, year 1 or 2. His name was Ty O'Connor. And I wanted to hang out with him and play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the NES. And I can't remember. Maybe we didn't know, like, because we were so young. I don't know if we knew how to, like, organize a play date like that. But I remember waiting in the – this is so, like, depressing. I remember waiting in the living room one night, and it's, like, similar to this house, like, window faced the road, and I was just, like, in the window just, like, waiting for him one night, and he just never came. And so we never became friends.
Sorry, man. I shouldn't be laughing.
I can't believe that just, like, triggered that, dude. Yeah, so I don't know if that was our fault or if he stood me up, but –
But you went to school with the guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had to see him again at some point.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I blocked it out, man. It's traumatic.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. So who was the first comedian that you noticed and how did you find them? I remember 2 comedians who became sort of the three. Okay, 3 comedians that sort of made me be like, I'd love to do that. 4 comedians. One, Bruce. Big, fat, black guy. He's still doing it today. I think he's from Atlanta or from Georgia somewhere. And he had this Krispy Kreme joke, which just killed me. And I remember my dad used to smoke a lot of weed, and I remember he was high, losing it. I was on the couch losing it, probably
just getting that passive.
Yeah. What do they call it? Contact high. I was probably contact high at like fucking, I don't know. I wasn't even that young. It would have been, yeah, I was probably like 12, 13 years old at the time. Bruce was on, dad had Foxtel and my mum didn't. So I got to watch a lot of like shit that I never would see. So on Comedy Central, Bruce, and I remember also on Comedy Central, Bill Burr, back when he had hair. And those memories of those guys cracking me up, I'll never forget. And then when I started, like when I was like, comedy, I need to watch comedy. Eddie Murphy Raw, Dave Chappelle Killing Him Softly, and Cat Williams Pimp Chronicles. So I was instantly into the black comics. But yeah, that's, I think I've just named five. I think I've named five, but yeah, that was pretty much it. I remember I went overseas to the US, France and Spain, Paris and Barcelona, with SASI, South Australian Sports Institute. We went on tour and like played all these different teams overseas. And I remember like the whole time, all I would do was just quote Dave Chappelle stand up. Just the whole time. And I consider that my first ever gig. Yeah. Yeah. So very inspirational. All of those guys. This one's from Nick. And I know a guy named Nick. He kind of looks like another guy named Nick. Nick Watts kind of looks like Nick Cummins.
Badger,
yeah,
honey badger,
yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, because they've both got that seedy little mustache. Shout out to Watsy, yeah, though.
Shout out Watsy.
So this one from Nick says, "Wife wants to divorce because I smoke weed. I've been smoking weed for like a couple of times a. Oh, sorry, I've been smoking weed for like a year, like a couple times a week. My wife found out what frequency I smoke it, and told her mom." And he spelled mom, M-O-M, so this Nick is from America. Her mom told her that I'm a drug addict and she should leave me. Like only broken people smoke weed and my life will go downhill from now on and she better off leaving me ASAP. She thinks all our fights with my wife are due to weed since it's affecting my brain and I don't realize that yet. I want to save our marriage and told her I will quit. To which her mom told her that once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Is weed that bad? Bingo, bango, bongo. Is this like what people are going to start saying now? Bingo, bango, bongo.
Is this the second time or have you had a few?
I think this might be the third time. No, weed's not that bad. But yes, it also is that bad. We know someone, bleep this, Pato. Absolutely smoked himself retarded.
Yeah, that was a pretty extreme case of it.
Yeah. I don't know too many people that have smoked themselves like out of this world, but I probably know more. Like, there's probably more that I'm aware of that I'm just not thinking of right now. It's not the best. Like, you can't just smoke all day, every day. But, like, no, it's not that bad. You said a couple times a week. For a year, like, no, it's not that bad. You'll be fine. Dude, in-laws are the worst. I'm not going to get into that, but dude, all I can say is that I don't believe that, and I think I've gone into this before, I don't believe that you have to have like a perfect relationship with the family to have a good relationship with your partner. Some people that's super important for, and they'll say, well, I can't be with you if it's not like that. And okay, it is what it is at that point. But if you can just live with it, it doesn't, you don't need to repair the relationship with the mum, just your wife. And if you're willing to quit weed for her, it's not going to hurt you. Quitting weed's also not a bad thing. But if smoking weed's helping you through something, maybe you need to get something else to help you. Like maybe not a substance, maybe some type of mindfulness, reading books, meditation, going for walks, walking the dog, exercising, going to therapy. Something else that can help. If you just like feeling relaxed or whatever, I don't know, get a spa. What do you reckon, boy man?
That's some expensive advice right at the end there. But the rest of it was good.
Weed in Australia is expensive. Just save up on the weed spending for a few months and maybe get a gym membership at a place that's got a spa. How about that? Go work out your frustrations, hit the bag, and then jump in the spa.
Yeah, just not that other kind of bag.
Yeah, don't hit that bag. Yeah. Unless you do it in say, or you can also hide your addiction.
Yeah, all that. Just wait till she goes to sleep.
Yeah, do that.
Get fixing, dude.
And that's it. That's it from Nick. Shout out to people that are still sending emails. I did see a poor posture of the week. I deleted the theme song, I think, so that's why I didn't move forward with it. But I think we can still do poor postures without the theme song, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Let's hear it.
No, I deleted it.
No, as in, like, let's hear the poor posture.
Deleted that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shit.
Sorry to whoever sent that. But you know what it is. Welcome to the potty on everything. Facebook, Twitter, Threads, Instagram.
You're on Threads?
Yeah, I'm on Threads.
Is it popping or is
I'm
it threading
the bed, baby. I know it's not popping. I'm not getting any love on there.
Okay.
And sometimes I did a banger the other day.
The platform itself though, like, is it good?
I still think Twitter's better. Oh, sorry, X.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep calling it Twitter, I think. I did a banging thread the other day and I didn't get a like on it.
No one's on there, man.
I should have tweeted it instead. It was, what did I say? Damn girl. The first thread was, damn girl, you're so wet. And the second thread was, said the guy walking his dog in the rain. And that's a banger.
And you got nothing.
Nothing, bro. I was laughing when I was writing it.
Got to get that shit up on X.com.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of that, I sent a link to someone today and it was from Twitter or X.
Yeah.
And when it sent, the website was X.com. And I was like, this just looks so sus now.
Yeah.
That looks like some porn shit.
He probably had to buy it from a porn site.
Yeah.
There's no way X.com wasn't taken.
Yeah, someone definitely had that.
Yeah.
I guess if anyone's going to buy something, that guy's going to do it.
Yeah. tell a friend about the Welcome to the Potty podcast. You can win free merch by doing so. ClayMcMathComedy.com for dates and deets. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.